Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to say good morning and welcome to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. It's 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come and visit with us during any or all of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm usually preaching through a book in the Bible, and I'm just about to finish up in the book of Colossians, and then we'll go through something else. And then we have Sunday morning Sunday school for all ages every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we have our regular Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. We'd love for you to come and be with us, or on a Sunday night, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We usually have a missionary, or I'll have a message the Lord's laid on my heart. We might have a young preacher from time to time. We try to do some different things. But anyway, we appreciate you listening in today. And I guess we could say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We're sort of in between the two. Just haven't had Christmas, and then New Year's will be this weekend. And this will be the last Blessings of Liberty this year. And so for the last Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast this year of 2011, we're going to do something just a little bit different. And I have a good reason for doing that. Now, this is not a live broadcast that you're listening to today. Usually, we do the radio broadcast live. But December the 27th is my 24-year wedding anniversary. And so my wife and I, we usually, on our anniversary, we'll take a day and go out of town and just spend the day together and have lunch and do some shopping and just enjoy each other's company. So we're planning on being out of town, and so we're going to do something a little bit different. What I'm going to do today is share with you a portion of a message that I preached back in the fall on the subject of whatever happened to revival. I've been dealing with revival here on the radio broadcast, The Blessings of Liberty. And this is usually a teaching or commentary type format, but today we're going to take a message right from the pulpit. I preached at the Bible Way Baptist Church back at their Thanksgiving Jubilee and really enjoyed being with Brother Michael and the good folks up there. I preached in the morning service, and so just about a 25-minute message on the subject of revival. We hope you get a blessing out of it as you listen in. Maybe you're off work this week, or maybe you're there at work, we don't know, but we hope you enjoy it. We sure need revival in America.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and this is a passage of Scripture I just want to use to get started this morning. We'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, and the Bible said there, very familiar passage of Scripture, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You can be seated this morning. And I want to try to preach just a few minutes this morning on the subject, something I've been thinking about for quite some time now. I want to preach on the subject of whatever happened to revival. Whatever happened to revival. You know, North Carolina, I realize where we are this morning. You know, we're not in some places I've been where you drive for 100 miles or 150 miles and you never pass a Baptist church or really any kind of church whatsoever. We're not somewhere like that today. We're somewhere where you don't have to go very far at all and you're going to find a church and another church and another church, and most of them Baptist churches. Somebody called me yesterday, and they'd heard me on the radio, and they were not Baptist people, you know. And she that tells you something right there. She said, "Well, somebody give me your name, and I'd heard you on the radio, and we're looking for a preacher and somebody to come and preach to us, you know." And I talked to her a minute, and I said, "Well, what's the name of your church?" And she told me, And I said, "All right." And I said, "Well, what do you want?" You know, "Well, we're really a more of a Baptist church than anything else." She said, "About the only thing, you know, is we believe you can lose your salvation, and if anybody come, we'd like for them not to dwell on that." And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, I said, it sounds to me like y'all need to get somebody that believes like you do. I said, it'd be real hard for me to come preach for you or any of our preacher boys out of the church and not deal with that." And I said, "Just to be honest, I don't know where you're going to find anybody around here that believes like that." And you know what? That's a blessing. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I didn't have a long list of people that don't believe the Word of God and what it says about eternal security. So we're not somewhere today where we don't know anything about church. We don't know anything about revival. But I'll tell you, we've gone a long, long ways away from where we used to be. Once upon a time in North Carolina, we was more famous for preachers and missionaries and revivals and churches, but you know what we're famous for in North Carolina now? You know, we're famous for NASCAR and basketball and Scotty McCreary and tobacco and, you know, things along those lines. Whatever happened to revival? Whatever happened to revival? That used to be once upon a time what was famous in North Carolina. I'm not going to go through the history of it this morning, but you know a little bit about church history this morning. And in North Carolina, and there was a man came into North Carolina named Shoeball Stearns. He was converted under the ministry of George Whitfield, and up in Connecticut he was baptized and he became a Baptist. He was ordained into the Baptist ministry, and God sent him down into North Carolina into Guilford County, and Shoeball Stearns came down into a place called Sandy Creek and started a little church there. They had about 16 members to begin with, and it wasn't long. God gave revival and it broke out, and they had 600 members, and within one generation they'd birthed out of that church about 1,000 Baptist churches, and within two generations they'd birthed about 5,000 Baptist churches in North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina, and all around. And you know, if we do the math of where I pastor at across the hill, our church would have got in on that second generation of churches that came out of that great revival. You know, we may not recognize it, we may not realize it today, we may not see it today, but our area that we live in and all of these churches, we are a product of a revival that has still not yet died. But I'll tell you what, we're about down to the embers. About down to the embers. You know, the Word of God says in Proverbs, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. And I'll tell you, you say, what's our place in this day and time as far as revival's concerned? I believe right now, I don't know what the future holds, but you think about a meeting like this and other meetings that you go to, and you know, what is our job and what do we do? And I'll tell you, for right now, I believe what our responsibility is to keep the embers burning and to keep the fire burning and pray to God on high that He had sinned a revival in our day and time, because it looks dark to me. Looks dark. Whatever happened to revival, I'll go on this morning. Let me give you three short little things I'll tell you just from my way of looking at things. I think number one, we quit preaching for a revival. We quit preaching for a revival. Once upon a time, churches had revival, and when they had revival, they looked for revival. And when they had preachers come and preach revival, the preachers preached on revival. I read 2 Chronicles 7:14. I just wonder in God's record book down through time how many times that's been preached on here in these mountains, and God's people has responded, and God's people have said, "Yes, Lord, that's us. Lord, we need revival." If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Psalms 85 and verse number 6. The word of God says over there, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? This book is a book of revival. God's nature is one of revival. And I'll tell you this morning, if you get in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the presence of revival. Brother Ratcliffe this morning, he didn't say it, but he preached on revival. Old Jeremiah got revival. He got a burning in his heart, and he got to where he could go on. And Brother Shue preached on revival this morning. Hey, sometimes you got to go through the valley to recognize where you're at, what you need. But I'll tell you, we quit preaching for revival. I've been in it a little while now, and I'll tell you, you can have preachers come and preach, and they'll preach all week long and never mention revival. Never mention revival. Preach a little bit on this, preach a little bit on that. You know, when I first started preaching, I'd think, well, if I'm going to preach in revival, I need to preach one night on sin. I need to preach one night on getting saved. I need to preach one night on being sanctified and set my life apart. And I need to preach one night on the second coming. And if it goes five nights, I don't know what I'll preach on. That's everything I knew. That'll get the job done. I'll tell you what, we need somebody to come along. I was out splitting wood the other day, and I was praying about preaching in revival, and I went and preached one night on revival, and I preached a second night on revival, and I preached a third night on revival. And I was out splitting wood, and I was praying, and I said, God, I don't want to do this just because I'm what I want. I said, God, people needs help. People's hurting. Their lives are a mess. Their families are out there and they can't get them back in. And God, is this really what we need? And I was splitting wood. And I'd come up to a knotty one, you know how they are. And buddy, I laid down on it one time and my big old maul, it just bounced off. You know what? I didn't quit. I put it back up there again. And I come back in with all mine. I used all my karate expertise on that. I went, huh! And you know what? It bounced off again. But when it bounced off that time, I thought to myself, maybe I ought to get my wedge and use on that thing. But when it came down that time, I thought I heard it give just a little bit. And so I got up, you know, and I come down on that thing again, huh! And it stuck. And I was praying about preaching on revival again. And the Holy Ghost of God said, son, hit her in that same spot one more time. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we come along and preach. We'll preach on one thing that didn't work. We'll throw it off. We'll preach on another thing. We'll throw it off. And we'll go on. I'll tell you, we need somebody to come along and lay another lick in there for revival. Whatever happened to revival? We quit preaching on revival. We quit expecting revival. We quit looking for revival. In a book I found, 1945, an old preacher said, the shallowness of many present day so-called revivals is indeed pathetic and shameful. In 1945, he said the revivals we're having is pathetic and shameful before God. He said revivals of old time religion today, as in former days, must be prayed down, not worked up. Buddy, I've got a study full of books on revival, and I've read and I've read and I've prayed to God down through the years that before I go, we'll see an old revival in this county. A real revival. But I'll tell you one thing about them writers of them old books on revival. They've all got one thing in common. They're all dead, Brother Michael. They're all dead, and they've most of them's been dead a long, long time. Where's a modern day revivalist? Where's somebody today that comes along and knows the key to revival, knows how to conduct a revival, knows how to preach a revival? I'm talking about an old time revival. where the power of God will come down, they're gone. They're gone. We've got used to what we're having, and I'm telling you, what we're having is not revival. You go to the Christian bookstore today and look for something on revival, look for some modern writer, you'll not find it. You can go to the Christian bookstore and you can find out how to balance your checkbook in Jesus' name. You can find out how to count calories for Jesus. You can find out how to do everything under the sun. You can find out how to golf for Jesus. You can find out how to pray to God in a hunting stand with Jesus. But I'm telling you, where's somebody telling us how to have revival? How to have the power of God back in the church? How to get out of the dead rut we're in? Where's somebody like that? Oh, that God in heaven would stir and raise up somebody that'd come along and bring us back to revival. Whatever happened to revival, we quit preaching for revival. Real revival will convict us. We've lost conviction in the church. Son, I preached last Sunday morning, tried to preach my heart out. I bet there's 8 lost people in the church. I preached on, what if today was the day and the rapture happened and God came along and helped me preach with I know unction and power. It got real. Got down the invitation. Not a stir. Not a move. I'm telling you, even when I was a little boy, I'm telling you, if a preacher preached on something like that, it'd tear people up. Tear them up. I laid in my bed at night when I was a little boy worrying about nuclear warfare and Russia, things like that, oh God. And God used that to convict me and save me. Preachers would preach and add power. People would get under conviction. They'd get tore up. They'd come around the altar. They'd fill the aisles up. They'd cry and pray to God. I'll tell you, we've lost conviction. Real revival would bring conviction back into the church. It'd challenge us. It'd change us. It'd charge us. It'd compel us. Be what we ought to be one more time. For the glory of God, I was reading Charles Finney's book this week on revival, and I don't believe exactly like he did on some things, but oh, that God would give us another one. And he said in that book, how to experience revival, he said if we don't have revival in our churches, we can have preaching, we can have singing, we can have all of these things, but it'll make us worse if we don't have revival. Wonder what's happening to our young people. It's going off, and wonder why we can't get anybody interested, and wonder why people are falling out like flies all around about us. I mean, we've got all the accessories. Oh, we've got good preaching from the Word of God. Oh, we've got singing, but I'm telling you, we're not having revival. And it's making us harder, and it's making us colder. And it's getting us a place where we don't have no conviction in the church. Oh, we need revival. Amen. How are we going to have revival if a man of God don't believe in revival? Amen. Called one of my preacher friends a couple of weeks ago and I said, pray for us. I said, I've been in revival. I told him where it was. I said, we're praying about going on another night. And he said, oh, really? He was surprised. He said, they must be doing pretty good down there. And I said, no, they're not doing pretty good. That's what our problem is. We think we're doing pretty good, and we're going on thinking we're doing pretty good, but we're doing awful. Doing awful. That's when we need to have revival. We think we're doing pretty good, so we'll go on another night. No, until we get to see before God that we're in a mess, we'll not have revival. We quit preaching for revival. I've talked to preachers before, and they'll tell you flat out, they'll say, I don't believe we'll ever have revival in America. Well, disbelieve that way. But it sort of stirs me to think that maybe in the county, maybe in my church, maybe if we preach on it enough and hit one more lick on that crack, Maybe one day the Holy Ghost of God will show up. I've been close. I've seen it scares people to death. It'll help us. Whatever happened to revival? Well, we quit preaching for revival. The Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We preach on that crowd, but that's us. Going through, having good meetings. That's where we're at. A good meeting's not a revival. Not a real revival. I've preached in a lot of good meetings this fall, but we've not had revival yet. We quit preaching for revival. Second of all, we quit praying for revival. Quit praying for revival. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Psalms 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? That's a prayer. I read something the other day. An old man said, if you'd have seen the Welsh revival, you'd turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 64 and verse number 1, where it said, oh, that thou would rinse the heavens. Oh, that thou would come down. And he said, you'd write in the margin, Lord, do it again. If you'd ever seen it, you'd write in there and say, Lord, do it again. E.M. Bounds said, we do greatly need somebody that can get the preachers and the churches back to prayer. We've quit praying for revival. God told Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man. Where's the man today? Where's the woman today? Every time one of our old saints of God passes away down at the church, I think to myself, who'll come along and fill their spot? They knew how to pray, get a hold of God. I'll tell you, this Facebook generation, this generation with plugs stuck in their ears going along, hey, this generation that don't know nothing about walking with God, praying and getting a hold of God. I'll tell you young people something. If you ever want to count something for God, you're going to have to learn to close that stuff off. Walk with God and get with God and have the presence and the power of God in your life. We've quit praying for a revival. Once upon a time, preachers knew how to pray. Deacons could pray. Daddies could pray. Mamas could pray. I remember my mom. I've got an uncle, buddy. He's a blessing. He's a singing leader. But he came back from the Korean War and he'd got out of the will of God and wasn't going to church. My grandpa's a preacher. My mom says she can remember one night. She said, I'll never forget. I was laying in the bed and I heard Daddy outside my window praying for Clint. Where's the people that can pray and ask God to do something and expect that God will? Buddy, we pray so general you can't tell if anybody's had a prayer answered or not. Where's the ones today that can go in to the mercy seat, get a hold of the altar and say, oh God, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. We quit. Buddy, we quit praying for revival. We don't expect nothing. We don't look for nothing. And I'm telling you, we don't get nothing. We quit praying for revival. We just blame it on the day and the time and everything else. Oh, I'll tell you, if our country keeps going the way it's going, people's going to be looking. People's going to change their hearts and minds, or either they're going to get, I'm telling you, it's going to be get in or get out. Boy, if some come wanting to get in, I hope they'll find somewhere where they can say, that's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. What are we doing here this morning, preacher? We're just blowing on the members. Hey, we're just praying and asking that God and keep us alive and help us and revive us. We might be able to help and be a blessing to somebody else. We quit preaching for revival. We quit praying for revival. If I could never pray and get no liberty for revival, I wouldn't believe in it. That preacher's preaching this morning about when can you testify that you ever met with God and you ever felt His presence, and I'm telling you this morning, seems like it's few and far between. But I was over at the study the other day getting ready to preach, and I had some time, and I got done studying, and I put my Bible up, and I pushed my chair back, and I said, God, I ain't leaving until I've got in your presence. And I got down there, and I began to pray. You know how it is. Words, words, words. I said, God, we need you. Lord, I can't do this without you. God, we got to have your presence. We got to have your power. And I prayed and prayed, and I didn't get nowhere. I said, Lord, I got to go. And I packed everything up, and I put it in the car. And I come back in one more time. I was going to do something before I left, and I walk around the corner. And boy, I'm telling you, he came by. And I said, Lord, thank you. Boy, I'm telling you, if you can get into God's presence and pray while you're there, what you're praying for, pray and ask it God to give us an old-time revival. We quit preaching for revival. We quit praying for revival. We quit, last of all, this morning, we quit preparing for revival. He said there in verse 14, and pray. Notice what he said. Humble themselves. Pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Who prepares for revival today? People so busy, they've got so much on their minds. They come, they go through the routine. They come in, they go there, they go out. Who takes spiritual inventory anymore? Who gets in God's presence and says, Lord, it's me, it's me. Standing in the need of prayer. Who takes time to plow up the fallow ground? Who takes time to repent before God? Hey, the Word of God said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. A lot of churches, they'll have revival. They'll have a meeting. People will come in. They'll go out. They won't be changed one bit. Be worse than they were. Why, preacher? Because we're not having revival. We're not preaching for it. We're not praying for it. We're not preparing our hearts for it. Brother Michael, we've been close a few times down through the years. Boy, I remember I pastored several years ago over at Forest Grove, and I'd gotten away of preaching on revival. I mean, preaching and preaching. And it made a bunch of them mad. And we had an evangelist come in and he preached and he really made them mad. And I got up that Sunday morning trying to put a little balm on everything. I was a young preacher. I just wanted to have revival so bad. And I got up and I preached on this subject. I love you. I wouldn't preach that way if I didn't love you. I wouldn't pray. I wouldn't be so dogmatic on things if I didn't love you. And God gave me liberty to preach on that subject. I love you. And I got done. And I said, all right, has anybody got anything? And here one of my best deacons got out of the pew, walked around up there, come up to the front, and I met him, and it floored me. He said, preacher, I've been mad at you, and I've been talking about you. And I want you to forgive me. And I said, I do. And you know what? Right behind him was another one. And now before we got done, brother, the whole church had been mad at me. And they all come around and said they are sorry. And we laughed on one another. And God came by and blessed us. We've quit loving each other. We've quit saying I'm sorry. We've quit saying I've sinned. We've quit saying I've been staying up all night watching all kinds of junk and I shouldn't been. Preacher, I ain't been praying for you. Preacher, I hadn't been faithful to church. We've stopped preparing our hearts. No wonder we don't have no revival. I'll tell you, there's some things in the Word of God turns God off, and it's formalism. It's being formal. Just going on without his presence and without his power. Well, we need revival. Boy, we need revival.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.